welcome to Connectivity 213. I'm your host, Nicholas Bray, and today I'm joined by Zach Miller.
Do 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 do.
Tickle, tickle, tickle. And Justin Berube.
What's up, everybody? I don't have a jingle for you, but...
Oh, we can't all be musically talented as Zach, so...
I know.
Anyway, today we're going to have a little chat about the NES, because the NES Classic Edition has just been released, and, well, it was released and now it's sort of unreleased, because no one can buy it. So it's been re-released again.
It's not around anymore.
Probably early December you can get the second launch stock, I guess. But so anyway, before we jump into the mini, I thought we could just go through a sort of generalized chat about the NES, sort of our experiences, some of our favorite games that aren't necessarily included on the mini. Justin, do you want to kick things off?
I don't know how you want me to start with my NES experience.
But, just take us back to where you sort of got into it and that stuff.
Yeah, the NES was one of my first video game experiences. Even though when I was younger, I did have a computer with games. I was probably one of the few people back in the 80s with a computer just because of what my dad did. So I remember we had a dual monitor set up probably in 88. And one of the monitors was just yellow and black, and the other one was 16 colors. It was one of the first color monitors you could bring home.
Mm.
And we also had a giant printer too. This thing was a beast. But anyway, I think the first.
Did you have Labyrinth? Labyrinth was so great.
No, I'm not. I had a castle something or on the PC and Paratroopers. I don't know if you remember that game. Do you remember that game?
I don't remember that game, but I remember the first game you said.
Yeah, I think it was called Castle Quest or something, but it was half text-based, half moving around with all sorts of symbols and whatnot. But anyway, right. The first Nintendo, those games really didn't do much for me, but I played some arcade games. I may have played Donkey Kong before actually played an NES, but I remember I was over at a friend's house and I just saw this box under the TV, and I was just like, "What is that?" And his mother was just like, "Oh, show him." And here I am today, because
it's like she looked at him and said, "Show him."
Yeah, I know. I remember it. She's like, "Show him."
Impressed.
And I played Super Mario Brothers, and I think I knew Super Mario Brothers from the TV show, actually, the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. So I didn't realize it was a video game. And
that's too funny.
And then. It was also Duck Hunt, so that was cool. And then, I really wanted an NES, and, I kept begging my parents to get me one. And they were like, no, no. And then, I guess I was doing, summer swimming lessons or something and just hated it and had to do, some, crazy swim across the pool, at the end of it all. And, I was just, refusing to do it. My dad was just like, well, if you do it, I'll buy you a Nintendo. And, I guess that gave me the courage enough to go ahead and do it. And then he was just like, I guess later on I heard my parents were like, damn, I guess we have to get it for him now. And that's how I got my
NES. We didn't think he was going to do it.
I know, exactly. So yeah, that's how the NES started with me and how I got into it and actually got one in my home. But yeah, that was probably the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So when you did get your NES, what games did you get with it then?
I just got Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt to start. Mm-hmm. And some of the other early games I got were Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Which is not the second one, not the arcade game, the original one, which is just a very cruel game.
It's so cruel.
Yeah, I've never beaten it, but my sister, I guess, had so much frustration with it a few years ago. She, sat down and mastered the game and was able to beat it and even made it through the game using one turtle.
Whoa.
Wow.
I know, it's impressive. But that game is just a mess. Other games, I guess, I had early on, I'm trying to remember. I think I got Little Nemo, the Dream Master, which I really enjoyed.
Oh, dude, that game rocks.
Yeah, no, that's...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's a game I really wish could be re-released today, but, the licensing probably holds it back. But it is it's one of those like NES games, not many people remember. And another game that, another game that I had that a lot of people rip on, but it's really not that bad of a game, is MechKids.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I've played that.
I mean,
it's ringing a bell.
It's like the McDonald's game.
The McDonald's game.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah,
a platformer.
Yeah.
But like, it does some things that like 3D platformers started to do, and even 2D platformers. You had to go and like collect things in a level to actually advance the game. So like, you could play it just like a regular game, but then you'd like hit a roadblock, like not being able to finish the world. You have to go back and replay the levels looking for, I think it was like the hidden golden arches, like cards or something like that. It's really not that bad a game. So that was fun. And I rented a lot of games back then from Blockbuster.
I feel like that MechKids games, like, during the early 2000s and late 90s, it was sort of laughed at, but, like, over the more recent years, it sort of gained that, like, reputation of being actually, it's actually not that bad. It's pretty good.
It's the sneak king of the NES.
Yeah, the reason I actually got that game is because I got a Happy Meal, and in that Happy Meal was a coupon for money off the game. And I guess that convinced my parents to buy it.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I remember looking into it years later, and I found some website for the developers of that game, and like, there was supposed to be like a whole, like Happy Meal tie-in with the characters and everything else, like that, to really promote the game. But then McDonald's backed out of it and just ended up cheaping out by throwing that coupon in and saying they met their obligation.
Wow.
So yeah, that's some like weird history with that game. I'm pretty sure that's the full story on that. But, yeah, other games I had, Yonoid, and then, like, I got games from my cousin, like Ninja Gaiden, and maybe Ninja Gaiden 2. I really love the Mega Man games. I had those. Like, I really love the 6 Mega Man games on NES.
Dude, Yonoid is underappreciated. It's a good game.
It's all right. You could do way worse on NES.
Yeah, yeah.
Air Fortress, made by HAL Labs. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that game.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, actually, I looked into it a few weeks ago, and Iwata is actually in the credits, so he actually worked on that game.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, I played so many NES games over the years. I mean, I was renting it, and you may think I got into the NES late, in the late 80s, but the thing a lot of people overlook, I think, is even though Super Nintendo came out here in 91, is that Nintendo was still promoting and selling and releasing NES games throughout almost the entirety of the Super Nintendo's life cycle. So it was like these two systems were in tandem. It wasn't like the NES was just abandoned as soon as the Super Nintendo came out, which you see with a lot of Nintendo consoles these days.
Well, yeah, I remember that Mega Man 6 came out around the same time as, was it X or 7?
Yeah, I think it was around X.
It was, yeah, that's crazy to think about.
Yeah, Mega Man 6, I think, was sold alongside as the NES 2 or the top loader NES.
Yes, it was, like, promoted. I've always wanted a top loader.
Actually, a few years ago, we stopped at a yard sale around my girlfriend's house, and I'm like, there's not going to be anything here. And we're with her friend, too, and her friend's like, oh, look, there's a top loader here. And I'm like, no way. And like, I was just like freaking out, and this little girl was on like the doorstep or whatever. And I'm like, so how much is this? And then she goes, $1?
Oh, like, my God.
And I go, okay. And give her the dollar, and I got the top loader NES. No dog bone controllers, unfortunately. I don't have any of those. But, man, that stuff. And there is a slight crack in the top, but, man, for a dollar, you can't go wrong.
No.
Man, you should have at least given her, like, $5.
I mean, I bought some other stuff, too, so. And I paid a little more, I think. But
yeah.
But,
does it work?
Yeah, it works. But nice. The thing about the top loader is, and this makes me not prefer it to the regular NES, is at least in North America, you can't plug it in with the normal jacks that you want to for TVs, like the composite cables.
Oh,
you have
weird.
To use the like the screw-in RCA.
Oh, that sucks.
Yep. So it's really in like one step in the right direction and another step in the wrong direction. It's kind of like how when they took the component cable out of the back of the GameCube, only much worse.
Yeah. I always thought the top loader looks a little ugly, though. Like, it's kind of a weird design.
Really? I've always felt like the North American NES looks kind of hideous.
I
mean, the full-size unit? Ay, ay, ay.
I know it's cool that the top loader, you know, you put the cartridge in the top and it's smaller and stuff, but I don't know. The design just seems a little off to me.
I feel like they made... Because the top loader came out around the same time as the Super Nintendo, didn't it?
I think like a year or two later.
Mm.
Yeah, later. So I feel like they were trying to capitalize on the Super Nintendo, like saying to people, well, if you have a bunch of NES games, you can get something that looks like a Super Nintendo, but it plays NES games. I don't know. Mm. I always felt like they were kind of duplicating the design.
Yeah, I don't like the Dogwell controller either. I haven't used one in a long time, but the way the A and the B buttons are that diagonal going down like the Super Nintendo, right. It's just uncomfortable because you have to like hold your thumb in a weird way to like have it resting over top of each button, and I just prefer the original NES controller over that because of that.
So, Zach, what about you?
I got my NES... I first played an NES at my friend's houses in the 80s. I think they got one pretty early, so we were playing Tetris and Super Mario Brothers and Donkey Kong. I think they had Wrecking Crew. So I liked it then. I knew I wanted one, but I had to save my own money to get it. So I was doing chores in the house. I was doing chores for other people. I don't even know how old I was. I'd gotten a Game Boy already for my birthday a couple years before. But I finally saved up enough money to get the... It was the pack that came with the gun, the light gun, and also the trackpad. And then on one cartridge, there was Duck Hunt, Super Mario, and whatever that racing game was. That Olympic game. Track and Field, maybe? Yeah. I played the heck out of Track and Field. Oh my gosh, I think I broke the mat.
It might be a world-class track meet, is that it?
Yeah, that could be it, yeah. And I could beat everyone except the last guy named Cheetah. And that always bothered me. But yeah, I played the heck out of that.
Did you just smack really the power pad with your hands?
Oh yeah, I tried everything. I did not keep... I mean, I kept those games, obviously, but they all have kind of a shelf life. But like Justin, I rented games all the time from Blockbuster, and I had relatives... buying me games for birthdays and Christmas on a fairly regular basis. So I had things like the original Batman, which is not a great game. Maybe it's better today, but back then I remember thinking it was kind of crappy. But the sequel, Return of the Joker, is phenomenal. It's not much of a Batman game, but it's really, really good. Of course, I had Ninja Turtles 1. I could never beat it, but I could get to the Technodrome and get pretty far through it. But
it's almost, there's one level after that.
Is there a level after the friggin' Technodrome?
Yeah.
No, when you're in the Technodrome, I mean. I could get into the Technodrome.
Well, there's a level where you... That might be the last level, then, because I know I've beaten the Technodrome, and I think there's, like, one more level after you jump inside, yeah.
Yeah, that's... When you're in the Technodrome, that's where I could get. Yeah. But the rock monsters in there always killed me. And then Ninja Turtles 2 was kind of my revelatory game. That was, me and my brother played that to death. It was so good. And then the next game, the Manhattan Project, was even better. And we played
Everybody
that
forgets
to
about
death.
That one, too. But that's a good game.
That's a great game.
So many played, people, you know, when I bring that up, they're like, there's a third one?
Oh, baby. I think Manhattan Project, just between me and you two, I think Manhattan Project's better than Turtles in Time. Because there's more, you know, more characters from the animated show. It's a longer game than Turtles in Time. But I had Kirby's Adventure, you know, I had Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters for the NES, which is not as bad as you might think. It's not great, but it's not... If you want an Ninja Turtle Tournament Fighter game. Huh?
You still have that one? Because that's a pretty rare game.
I don't still have that, no. What happened, you know, it's a sad thing what happened to my NES. It just stopped playing games. You'd any game you put in there, it would just, I remember very clearly, the screen would come up pink.
Yeah, you probably need to replace the connector.
I'm sure that's true, but I didn't know that back then. So we tossed it and sold the games.
I know.
But I actually still have a few of the games I found in my parents' basement a few years back. One of them was Super Mario 3. And there was another one. I don't remember what it was. But, you know, I keep those around for posterity. Oh, Ninja Turtles, the original Ninja Turtles. I keep that in and I have the box for that.
Yeah, I have all the boxes for my games. I never, even when I was a kid, I, like, refused to throw the boxes out.
I know, I should have done that, too. But I was like, who needs the box? I've got the little slip cover. But, yeah, I love my NES, and I've, I was sad to see it go, but I'm happy that games are kind of being preserved through Virtual Console and this little NES Mini, so I love my NES. Or loved. It's dead now. But
I still have my original NES. I've repaired it a few times.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, something I do want to bring up before I forget is one of the other games I had when I had Mario 3, obviously. That's a huge one. But I also got Metroid, and I used to hate that game so much. It was such a confusing game as a little kid playing through that.
I still think it's pretty confusing.
Yeah, like, right? It is.
I've never played anything like that. Like, most of the games I played, it's like, just go to the right and you'll win. Yeah. Like, make it over there. And then, like, in Metroid, it's like, what the hell is happening? Like, this is a maze and there's things trying to kill me from every direction and enemies tracking me. And if, without really someone explaining to you what that game is, like, it's very difficult and confusing, especially from any of the other Nintendo games, really, at the time.
And I don't think it got a lot of coverage in Nintendo Power.
Yeah, I didn't have Nintendo Power till around the Super Nintendo era, like maybe right before.
Oh, okay.
So, I was blind, and just, it was mostly like some kids at school would have Nintendo Power, and then a lot of it was, word of mouth was huge back then for like the secrets and the cheat codes. Like, people would be sharing cheat codes at school. And, like, I'd go to friends' houses, they'd be like, oh, did you know this code for this game? And, like, you write that down or call
pull out the
later.
Old Nintendo Powers. Oh, look what came in the mail today. One thing I did forget about that I want to bring up. Do either of you guys remember the unlicensed cartridges? That,
yes.
I forget which developer did that.
There's a few different ones. But
Yeah, but they look completely different. I mean, they look like, more like a Genesis game.
You're talking about the black ones?
Yeah.
I think that was Tengen.
Yeah, I think it was Tengen. Well, I got just, you know, you go to Blockbuster and they just have the box of the game on the shelf and you look at it and you're like, oh, this looks good. And you take it up to the front and they give you the game in a Blockbuster box. Well, I don't remember what this game was, but it was a side-scrolling shooter. And when we got it home, I opened up the Blockbuster case, and I was like, what is this? This is clearly not an NES game. And we actually, before I put the thing in the system, we actually took it back to Blockbuster, and I said, I think this is for Genesis or something. And the guy was like, no, it's an NES game. It's just made by a different manufacturer. And I was like, well, that's weird. So I took it home, and hey, it worked, and it was a good game, but I wish I remember what it was. But I'll always remember that cartridge throwing me off when I was, like, 9 or 10. Like, what is this?
Yeah, there's also Wisdom Tree. Had some unlicensed games.
That's right, with their Bible games.
Yeah, there's those. And I think there's another one. I forget what company made this. Maybe it was one of them, but Quattro Adventure and all these Quattro games, which had this weird gold cartridge. And actually, on those, part of the board is exposed, kind of in like that area where you pull the game out.
Really?
So if you had the lockout chip, you can like flip the switch and it would like try to break it in a different way.
Oh, that's funny. Well, what about you, Nick?
So yeah, I didn't have an NES growing up. We had a Sega Mega Drive, pretty much. Oh. Sega until I got an N64 in like 99. I didn't even see an NES Like, I didn't know anyone that had an NES growing up, so I never really was like saw one. It wasn't until I had a friend in like 2000 that like had an old one, and I was like, oh, let's set this up and check it out, because I hadn't really seen how it sort of played games and stuff at the time. So yeah, we used to play his sometimes, like Snake Rattle and Roll, and I used to watch him play like Mario 3 and stuff, because he was like a lot better at it than me. But I eventually did buy an NES. I think it was like 2004, 2005 or so. I bought like a thing off eBay with like a bunch of games and stuff. Which, you know, it's a PAL system, so which is okay back was which was all right back then. But I actually sold it earlier this year because I was like, I'm never going to set up and play the PAL system anymore. So
yeah, doesn't it run at a slower rate or something?
Yeah, PAL games run slower and, you know, other weird things like that. So I sold off a bunch of the cartridges and the system itself. I kept Zelda 1 and Zelda 2 because I had them complete in box. So I was like, I'll keep them because I'm not going to be able to, I'm not going to try and buy like a, complete in box NTSC copy of either of those games. So, it's going to be pretty expensive.
Yeah.
But yeah. Other than that, as listeners will know, I bought one of those retro USB AVS systems a couple months ago, which is like a new NES that outputs in HD and has a Famicom slot. And
mm-hmm.
It's basically what sort of people want the NES Mini to be, or at least some people do. They want,
no,
oh,
no, I don't
want to
want
put
that.
New, more
we
games
don't need
on
any
it.
More, we don't need any more people collecting this stuff, believe me.
But you know what I mean? Because people saying, like, some people saying with the Mini that, like, oh, you can't put more games on it, but I guess this is sort of like the alternative to that if you really wanted to go down that way. But so yeah, that system is pretty good. I've been enjoying it. I've been rebuying games, so I've been getting a few Famicom games. I've got Mario 1, Kirby's Adventure, and Hello Kitty World on Famicom, which is we've picked that up in Japan at one of the retro game stores there. Hello Kitty World's pretty good. It's basically Balloon Kid, a reskin of Balloon Kid from the Game Boy.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And what other one? And I recently got The Little Mermaid and Ice Hockey on the NES, like NES copies.
Little Mermaid is a great game. All those Capcom games are great.
Little Mermaid was such a disappointment for me, because maybe I talked to you guys on Twitter about this the other day, but I rented Little Mermaid as a kid. And I beat that game in probably
two hours.
And I was like in tears. I was stuck with this game for the weekend. So we brought it back. And the guy was just like, yeah, I knew we'd beat it in like 10 minutes. Like, pick any other game out. I don't care.
Yeah. No, it's short, but like the mechanics are rock solid.
I haven't actually put it into play besides some testing it yet, but, you know, I'm going to get around to it eventually. But yeah, the other one, Ice Hockey, my friends and I really got into that on the Wii Virtual Console, because I think I bought it just on a whim. I was like, oh, I'll buy this, because I was just buying, like, heaps of Virtual Console games back when the Wii was sort of new.
Back when they were releasing games for the Virtual Console?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'll check this out. And in multiplayer, that game is, like, so really, really fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable how fun that little game is.
I've always been more of a Blades of Steel guy, to be honest with you.
I also bought that on the Virtual Console on the Wii as well.
Back, I mean, just
that's
those
right,
hockey
they're
fights.
Both on there, aren't they?
Those hockey
Sorry?
Fights. So much fun.
It's what a good sports game, well, to me, should be. Like, I really would like them to go back to releasing sports games with, like, really simple controls. And it's like just like a sort of slightly dubbed down version of the sport, but it's fun.
Very arcade.
I tried playing like Pro Evolution Soccer on the PS4. Like, I don't know, I've downloaded the demo a couple months ago, and I was just like, I can't be bothered learning this. There's too much stuff going on. There's too many button commands. I mean, I know how to play soccer, but yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I can't play modern sports games. I'm right there with you.
Hmm.
I've never been a big sports gamer, but I, I definitely played more of them when it was a lot simpler in like the NES and SNES days.
Yeah. Mario, the GameCube Mario Strikers as well was a surprising hit in multiplayer as well on the GameCube for me.
Oh, yeah.
That's sort of the level that I prefer, I guess. But anyway, back to NES games. What else do I enjoy playing on the NES?
Darkwing Duck. Have you played Darkwing Duck?
I have not played that one.
Dude, it's the secret best Capcom NES game. Capcom
Disney
game.
More than Mega Man?
It's basically a Mega Man game. I mean, no joke, it is a Mega Man game with Darkwing Duck.
I played the a ROM of it ages ago, and it seemed pretty fun. I mean, I should probably give that another look at some point. Graphically, it was pretty impressive as well.
Oh, yeah.
I remember. The animation and stuff was really good.
And, of course, Rescue Rangers is good. I know they made a sequel, but it was at the very end of the lifespan of the system. I never got to play it. Same with DuckTales 2. I would love it if WayForward made like DuckTales Remastered 2. DuckTales, I actually played that at PAX East, not last year, but the year before. Not as good as you remember.
I never understood
enemies
the huge
in
love
asshole places.
I mean, it was an alright game, but I never thought it had such a following until a few years ago when people seemed to flip out over the remake.
Yeah, the remake is it's obviously a better game, but I think it's a better game because they put bad guys in not terrible places.
Well, a lot of NES games put bad guys in terrible places. In a chair.
Yeah, I mean, any time where you're trying to jump over a pit and an enemy like flies by you, like Medusa heads in Castlevania.
Yeah, don't go to California.
The worst trope in NES games.
Actually, in Castlevania, there's a trick, I think, on the second level where you can, like, use it. If you jump up and let the head hit you, you can, like, skip a huge chunk of the level.
Oh, really?
It'll, like, knock you
I'll
up.
I'll have to look into that.
I mean, I can do it pretty easily if I were able to show you where it is. But, yeah, I always do it, and then you, like, skip, like, this hard portion of the second level.
I'll have to do that.
Yeah, and that's a glitch I think I found. But man, I played so many NES games. I remember one Christmas, one of my good friends at the time, I guess his parents like raided Funko Land or something, and he just got like so many NES games, California games.
Oh, California games, baby.
Man, we play California games. It's a stupid game, but we played that. Some Mega, I think he had like Mega Man 6 at the time, which I didn't have back then, but I have that now. Man, we had so many games to like just blast through, and we'd spent like hours playing those things. I think he had the Double Dragon 2.
Nice. I remember a friend of mine, Andrew. I'd go over to his house for sleepovers once in a while, and one day we rented, I want to say it was like Double Dragon and Battletoads. And we stayed up probably all night trying to beat that in one sitting. And we did. And then we slept all day. And that's not a very good game.
I've never played it. I think that's also one of the later releases.
Yeah, I think it is. Battletoads is great for a couple levels.
No, it's not. That game is very unforgiving in the limited continues.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I was playing through Ghosts and Goblins on the Famicom Mini, which is what I have right
now. That game's so hard.
I've beaten that game on NES. But
wow.
On the Famicom, there doesn't seem to be any continues, like on the NES one. But I looked into it, and apparently there's a cheat code to get continues. So
wow.
I'm just thinking, how brutal must that game must have been for Japanese kids back then? Like, probably didn't see past the second level unless you knew that cheat code.
Got to be a quarter muncher, right? Must have been an arcade game.
Yeah, I believe it was, but I don't think the arcade game was as brutal as the NES.
Yeah.
I never used to finish many games as a kid. Like, I would just put in a game every now and then and play it until sort of I was sick of playing it, like, and then just put it away. Like, I would usually die sort of at some point, and then I would just be, oh, I've had enough for today. I guess, like, back then, I didn't really have the expectation that I should finish games as much.
I mean, still don't.
Yeah, no, but, like, it's more like, these days, it's more, you're more expected, I think, to finish a game, see it through to the end, like, because they're not as much, they're not, like, sort of
not time as brutally wasted difficult.
As much now. They're trying to be sort of, you know, like,
I miss the difficulty.
Driven.
I mean, I think back then, and one of the things that got me to really love games is beating a game was like a trophy, and you go into school or whatever, and you'd be like, I freaking beat that game. I can, like, tell you all about it, what to do, like, some tips. Like, it was a trophy, and now games are really made to be beaten, at least most of them. So, I really enjoy the challenge in a lot of games, which is probably why I'm one of the few people on the site that loved 1001 Spikes on Wii U.
Oh, I never played that.
Yeah, I don't think it works anymore, but...
Oh, that's right,
sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that. There might be a workaround. I don't know. I'm afraid to boot that game up ever again. But it was
Brick
great.
Your system.
Probably. It wouldn't surprise me. Have you guys ever played Abadox?
Never heard of it.
I seem to remember seeing a lot of ads in comic books for that.
Yep. It's a ridiculous, like, shoot-em-up game.
Is that the one where you're, like, inside an organism?
Yeah, you're, like, in space, and then you go inside this, like, organism that's, like, floating through space, and, like...
Yes.
I mean, that seems like one of those NES games that I think is ridiculous and amazing, and nobody talks about that. In fact, a friend of mine has an Abadox tattoo.
Oh, my God. You know, one of the games, I mean, when we talk about the NES Mini, we'll bring it up, but I gotta say, one of the best multiplayer games on that system is Bubble Bobble. So fun.
I've never played it two-player, so...
It's all right, but I think whenever I play that game, it just kind of gets old after a while.
But every stage has a different layout and different bad guys and different air currents.
I've never played the sequel, which is kind of rare.
Rainbow Islands or Bubble Bobble 2?
Bubble 2.
Okay. I haven't played that either, but Rainbow Islands was really fun.
That I've never played.
It's kind of the same kind of game, but... a different mechanic. And I should say I had a lot of these, like, you remember there was a time back then where if there was an NES version and also a Game Boy version.
Yeah.
And the Game Boy version often didn't differ that heavily from the NES version. So there were a lot of instances where I didn't have it on the NES, but I had it on Game Boy. Like, I had the Game Boy version of DuckTales, but not the NES version, or the Game Boy version of, Bubble Bobble, but not the NES version for a while. And that was... I kind of liked how they did that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of games were like that, but I think it was also like a... Oh, so you like this game, now you could take it on the go, and it was always like a watered-down version of the console game. A lot of Game Boy games are like that. I feel like very few games back then for Game Boy were unique.
Oh, absolutely
unique
true.
To the Game Boy, and the games that were unique actually, I think, held up better than most of the ones that became like watered down versions of NES games, where they really tried to stick to the NES design and just miniaturize it.
I will say that the Game Boy version of Ninja Turtles is better than the NES version of Ninja Turtles.
I've never played the Game Boy version.
Oh, Follow the Foot Clan, man, it's so good.
Yeah, I mean, it was harder to play Game Boy games because you couldn't really rent them. So it was...
Yeah, that's true, too.
If you got a Game Boy game, it was like, you're in for Game Boy, or you're not going to try it. So it was like a lot harder to try those games back then.
I seem to recall Game Boy games being significantly cheaper. I think I had a lot more Game Boy games than NES games growing up.
I honestly am not sure. It'd be pretty close, I think, for me. I don't know. I probably did have more Game Boy for a while. And that's probably also because the Game Boy lasted longer.
Yes, that's also true.
All right, well, maybe we'll move on to the NES Classic Edition then, in fully, I guess.
Sure.
So, yeah, I got mine yesterday and have messed around with it a little bit. I don't know, I like the package. I mean, the build quality on the little box is really nice. It looks, well, it looks exactly like an NES, just shrunken down. The emulation seems, you know, probably the best it's been on a Nintendo device. Like, really. The only thing I did notice, because I've been playing on the AVS, like, recently, I've been playing Super Mario Brothers again. I did notice a very slight audio delay on the sound on the games. Like,
I thought I noticed that as well, but I wasn't sure if it was me or not.
Yeah, it's definitely there, because I went back and forth that. And I was like watching the sound effects and listening for the sound effects and stuff on the AVS and then switching back to the Mini, and there was a definite, like, I don't know, a couple of frames or less, like a frame or less, like audio lag or whatever. It's definitely noticeable, but I guess if you haven't been playing, you know, if you've got nothing to compare it to and you haven't been playing the games on like an original hardware or something recently, you're probably not going to notice a great deal problems with that. But yeah, it's kind of unfortunate that there's a slight blemish on the emulation, but overall it's very good.
Does that seem to affect every game in the collection or just certain games?
I think it'll be across the board. Yeah, it would make sense to me that
the game that made me really think it was doing that was Mega Man 2. This is on the Famicom version, by the way.
Yeah. I've read another. Someone else was saying on a forum that they noticed it on Mega Man 2, but I tested on Super Mario Brothers, and it was a definite. There was something definitely lagging there.
Yeah, it just seemed like when you'd hit to like select your level to like the different bosses, like it would light up like a millisecond before the sound effect.
And yeah, yeah. I noticed it the most maybe, in like, Mario.
Scratch my
I noticed
head.
The most. Sorry. I noticed it the most in Mario when I jumped on a Goomba's head, because you could tell that it was something off, because usually the sound effects like instantaneous.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to check that out. I haven't really been paying attention to the sound,
I mean,
which
it's
is
pretty,
weird.
It's fairly nitpicky, but is this something that I guess we should mention?
You can never be nitpicky enough, in my opinion.
Especially, you know, I guess, like, it's $60 for 30 games in America, so, I mean, it's pretty good value for money, no matter, like, even if there's a couple of blemishes here and there. But
no, I'm really glad things like this do exist, because the price on getting these things, normally,
yes, yeah,
it keeps going up to ridiculous levels for reasons I don't understand. I think too many people have probably gotten into this hobby that probably aren't as interested in it as they perceive they are. I bet like a lot of people just have it lying around and don't really plan on using it. They just like having it, which is all fine and well, but like I feel like there's a lot of history here that is being locked up in people's houses because of that.
It's like when private collectors buy dinosaur bones for their living room.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what it's like, I'm sure.
Justin, how did you get your system?
I told you, like, the whole,
I know, but you didn't tell me on the show.
I thought I described it earlier.
No, your NES Mini.
Oh, the NES, they meant the original NES, sorry.
No.
My mistake. Stayed up late last Thursday, which was the day before the NES, Classic NES Edition came out, and I was refreshing, like, every website that I knew would be selling it, and, Best Buy finally got them up, and I was able to order one.
Oh, nice.
I haven't received it yet. I got the controllers in the mail, but...
Oh, that's interesting.
The controllers are really, really nice, though. I've been using, like, a third-party reproduction controller on my AVS, and holding, like, a nice, new, proper NES controller is really good.
Yeah, no,
I
did try it.
The buttons are a little squishier.
I did try it a month ago at a Nintendo event in New York. I went with Neil and Jared. We checked it out. And my takeaway was the D-pad was a lot softer.
Yeah, definitely the D-pad, for sure.
And I was playing Super Mario Bros. 2 on it this morning, and when I was trying to climb the vines, it was really hard because I was like slightly, like I guess I would slightly move my thumb to the left or right when I was pushing up, and it activated the left and right direction. I'm not sure if it was sort of like that on a real NES controller, or if there's a bit more, not as much like division between the inputs on the mini controller.
I'm gonna guess that's it. Yeah, because I've had that problem on the Wii U Pro controller once in a while.
Yeah, I have too. Honestly,
it's like easy to accidentally move to the left and right and stuff when you're pushing up. But
I just think it's easy to like rock in the other position slightly and then
what I'm getting at. Yeah, but I did. I have like found out that you can replace the board in the new controller with an original NES board, so you can use it as a real NES controller.
Which
I'm
pretty
going
good.
To buy extras and do that eventually, because then I'll have some nice controllers.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, the internals are pretty much exactly the same as a real NES controller, and the board fits perfectly. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, they went all out on this. I was not able to get an extra controller. I woke up at 6 in the morning on, what was it, Friday? Friday, yeah. And I went to about 5 minutes away to Fred Meyer and just sat in the parking lot until a woman went up to the door at about 6:30 in the morning. And I went and stood behind her because I figured, as I said to her, are you in line for the NES Mini? She's like, yeah, I'm an employee. And I said, oh, do you know how many they're getting? And she said, 8. And they had ordered 16, but Nintendo only gave them 8. And they didn't give them any controllers. So pretty quickly after I got in line, 6 more people got in line, and then more people. But as soon as she said, oh, they only have 8, those people were like, eh, and they went home.
At least there was a line. I would hate to be like, just quick, you got to run in and try and get it.
Yeah, that's true, and it was so funny because the guy at the electronics department came over to the door to look at how many people were there, and then he went back and you could see him stacking them up behind the counter, and he literally just handed them to us when we gave him a credit card.
Yeah,
but and then I came home and went to sleep.
I mean, yeah. Some of the scalping stories are pretty crazy. I mean,
Craigslist, I saw one for $300.
Yeah, the date released here in Australia. Someone posted a thing on Facebook. It was like some secondhand store. They must have just tried, like, bought a whole bunch of them, and they were reselling them for like $400 Australian or something.
Oh God!
Honestly, insane. I'm considering selling mine when I get it because it's not like I can't play NES games right now.
But. Yeah, you know, I was kind of considering selling my one as well, because I like it and stuff, but it might just end up being a paperweight, because I'm going to play the games on my AVS, so but you know, I kind of do like it because it's got 30 games on there, and I don't have those games, so
yeah. I don't have a lot of these games.
There's a few I don't have.
There's the only other pricing story I'll say is, like, I woke up, I had that day off, it was Veterans Day, and I woke up at like, you know, 11 o'clock, and I had a text from a friend, and she had said, if you need an NES Mini, the only place to go is eBay. And I said, oh girl, no, no. I got one already, I got up at 6 in the morning, she's like, oh shit, well, I bought one on eBay. And I said, please don't tell me what you paid for that. And she said, I paid $260 before shipping.
Ouch.
To Alaska.
People are saying that $300 is too much for the Switch.
Yeah, right? But I said to her, dude, why didn't you just get up at 6 in the morning and go to a store? And she's like, I didn't want to go to that bloodbath. I said to her...
Or wait 3 weeks and there'll be plenty more stuff.
Yeah, wait 3 weeks. Yeah, she said I didn't want to. I thought it would be a bloodbath in lines. I was like, seriously, there were 8 people in line. We were all very nice, and I don't know. She thinks it's worth it, though, because she didn't have to get up early. She didn't have to wait in line. I'm like, good for you, but...
I don't know. She's justifying it that way to herself, but in the back of her mind, you know it's eating really at her.
It's not. Yeah. It's not a limited edition thing.
Right. They're making more.
Nintendo, it's going to be like Amiibo, or like for a few months, it probably will be like hard to get, and then there's going to be so many in the stores that stores will probably.
I do think it's stupid that like the one thing Nintendo of America has really pimped since the announcement is also the one thing that they really did not stock well. They probably did it to create a sense of false demand.
I don't know. I don't think they do that on purpose.
I think they just completely under it. There's 2 things that could have happened here. One, they underestimated it. Another thing I'm more wondering about is how many of these store, like the retail stores, have them but aren't selling them because they want to keep them for Black Friday.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or Nintendo could be holding the second shipment back for Black Friday or whatever.
That's an interesting idea.
It would make more sense.
Yeah, if stores advertise that somehow for Black Friday.
Yeah.
It could really drive people into their stores for other things.
Hmm.
I'm not sure what's going on with that, but that's just one theory I have. So.
None of the Black Friday sales ads that we've been seeing out of Wario 64 have included the NES Mini.
Not that I've seen. So that makes me wonder, maybe not, but then again, who knows? Maybe like the websites will say something like, oh, we got more.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. It could also come down to them trying to service all the major markets basically at once as well. Sure. They've got to send stock to the US, they've got to send a bunch of stock to Europe and the UK and Australia and stuff. I mean, they're all the same stock basically, so. Yeah.
But what's that going to mean for the Switch?
Well, I don't know. They probably didn't make as many of these as they like.
Well, that's true.
Major home console as well.
That's true. Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, I'm just glad I got mine.
I don't
want to
think about sleeping out for 20 hours to get my Wii and do that again for Switch. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, I'm just going to pre-order come January.
If you can,
yeah.
Apparently, you couldn't pre-order. NES
right?
Edition. But I could pre-order the Famicom one, and that's why I got it. Yeah, you couldn't here in North America. No place had it for... I think maybe the day it was announced, a few stores had it for like maybe an hour before taking it down.
Mm.
And but yeah, couldn't do anything. But I was able to pre-order the Famicom.
Toys R Us had it very briefly.
Yeah.
But see,
I
wasn't even going to get one until like... I pre-ordered one in October... And it was just because some tiny little online store in Adelaide posted an ad to a Facebook group I'm on. And then I was like, they're sold out everywhere. And then I gave the link to a couple of friends. And then later that night I said, screw it. I'm just going to buy it. I can get rid of it later if I don't want it or something. But
I've been there.
But yeah, that was sort of just... by random luck, because they apparently took them a while. This store took them a while to get their allocation. They got 20 units and 20 controllers, I think.
Oh, okay.
And they sold them all online, but that ad got pulled from the Facebook group like a couple of minutes after it went up. So not many people saw it, and then it was reposted later that night because they had to, confirm it was legit on the Facebook page. So
that's funny.
But yeah.
Well, I like it, and of all the games on here, I've played the majority of them before, but one game I never played was Star Tropics, and that's a weird-ass little game.
Mm-hmm. Neil was saying on Nintendo News Report that it's like basically like Zelda. When I started it, it seemed like it was more like an RPG, though. It's kind of weird.
Right, yeah.
It's a bit more linear from what I remember, but it's been a long time.
Mm.
Very, a little Zelda-y, and it's weird that you're kind of jumping from block to block and attacking enemies with a yo-yo, and it's a weird game, but I like it. It's a fun game, and Tecmo Bowl's not as good as I remember.
I tried that. I didn't really understand most of it. I'm going to have to look up how to play it.
So. Maybe what I should say is it moves so quickly that I don't know what's happening on screen.
Mm.
And Green Bay is not an option, so, you know.
I wish they'd thrown Super Dodgeball on here, too.
The Japanese version has a... I believe the Famicom version has River City Ransom, but
yeah.
Like, I'm gonna play.
Yeah, why didn't we get River City Ransom? That's
and
better.
I never played much of that game, I'll be honest, but I've always wanted to dive into that more.
Yeah, I guess there are not too many duds. I would say that Galaga and Pac-Man are good for 5 minutes apiece.
Yeah.
I've never liked Donkey Kong Jr.
Okay.
The game selection overall, I thought is pretty good.
I think it's good, and it also leaves room for a NES
Classic 2.
Yeah, the top loader to be released with 30 more games.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to do a second NES one though.
I think they could.
I
would just go into that well if I were them. I mean, who cares? Yeah. I mean, there's still some great games to come out. Could still come out for this thing. I mean, I've never played the third Castlevania. I'd love to see that.
That's a good game. Hard as hell, but good.
I'm very
disappointed. Oh, that's a dud. Castlevania 2 sucks.
Yeah, I'm not touching that game. It's horrible. I'm sad there aren't more Mega Mans on there.
Yeah.
So you can actually make 5 of the games on the second one, Mega Man, and I wouldn't care. I'd be happy.
It's interesting. I've been thinking this theory for a while. You guys have both probably heard it, but if this NES Classic is successful and they make it a line, NES Classic 2, Super Nintendo Classic, etc., it may give them an opportunity to offload Virtual Console into its being its own thing.
You mean like they wouldn't do it on the Switch?
Exactly.
I think they're still going to do it on the Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they'll still do it on their main console, but I think
hopefully, if you register your card that comes with it or whatever, which I don't recommend doing until there's better rewards on.
Yeah, I'm saving it up.
Yeah. Maybe if you do that, you'll get a discount on each of these games since they can tell you've already bought them.
Mm. That'd be nice.
Yeah. It would be nice. And honestly, on Switch, I'd be more compelled to buy Virtual Console games because I'd be able to play them on my TV or take them with me.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's the thing for me. The law of portability trumps everything else.
But I think this line of, like, if they make, like, more of these mini consoles, you know, I still think these aren't really for people like us. Like, it's not for the people that buy the home console. It's for the people that haven't really thought about the NES or Super Nintendo in 20 years. That want to
I'm sure that's
their
true,
childhood
yeah.
cheaply.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're kind of in separate markets, and it's also a good way for them to, you know, repackage these games in another new way.
Make people pay for them yet again.
Yeah, yeah.
Play it again for the 30th time.
Yeah.
I found it funny.
It's good. The emulation's so good, I don't mind paying again.
Hmm. Do you know the those really bad Sega Mega Drive at games ones, like the plug and play that's been out for a few years?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they launched like another version of it the same day as the NES Mini, I think. And there was even scalpers trying to scalp that as well. Like, I saw one on like some site. It's like $250 for this Sega Mega Drive thing.
Oh my god.
It's like, yeah, that one's not selling out.
No, I wouldn't pay $250 for a new in-box Mega Drive.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't see that at the store. At least nobody was excited about it.
No, but I think people remember the Nintendo stuff more fondly than the Sega stuff because, one, they've been around, and two, and I'm biased, but I think it's better.
Oh, sure.
Like, I really.
Although, you know, I'm not going to say I wouldn't object to like a Sega Genesis Classic.
I think it'd be cool if Sega took like you know, the license away from these At Games or whatever and just, you know, done it properly themselves.
Yeah.
Now that they've seen the NES one, it's probably a possibility they're at least thinking about it.
Yeah, and there's enough good... I mean, the 3D classics have proven that there are enough good Genesis games that you could pretty easily make a Genesis classic.
With that classics cartridge is pretty cheap as is, so they'd be competing with that.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and you gotta wonder, like, would the average consumer know or care about the difference?
Hmm. Yeah, there's a lot to consider, but I think that if I were marketing that, I'd consider that, like, this collection has been selling for like $20 for many months. So, how do we price this thing?
Right.
I mean, with the virtual console stuff, Nintendo's been overcharging for so much of it for so long that this appears to be a value when you do the math.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You're right. This is how much NES games should cost anyway on virtual console.
I think it should range, but most of them, like, I shouldn't be paying $5 for NES soccer.
Yeah.
Right.
Those sort of, yeah, Nintendo should at least consider making those games like soccer and baseball and tennis, like, $2 on Virtual Console or something.
Yeah.
Like.
And they'd probably get a lot more people buying it if it were $2.
Yeah.
I agree, but for, I don't know what they're thinking, but I'm guessing it's, we can't, like, undervalue these games. Like, everything needs to be the same price. We put the same value on it. But they really need to sit down and be like, no sane person is going to pay $5 for NES soccer. It doesn't make sense. It's a terrible game. If anybody pays $5 for this game, they're not going to want to buy any more virtual console games.
Oh, dude, you know what game is not good? I'm sorry, but Ice Climbers is not a good game.
No, I don't think it's a great game. I just think they're great Smash Brothers characters.
Okay.
You know, I didn't mind. I played Ice Climber back in the day, like, on an emulator and stuff. And, you know, I didn't mind playing it sometimes. I mean, it's not great. The jumping mechanics take some getting used to.
Awful? Okay.
You can get used to them. There's some tricks, but, yeah.
Yeah, I, you know, it's not that bad a game. Like,
no, there's some cool things about it, but...
A much better snow-themed game is Snow Bros.
Good luck finding
that. Which was
that.
Also on NES. Huh?
That's a rare game.
Is it a rare game?
Yes.
Oh, okay. It's super good. It's basically Bubble Bobble.
Yeah, it really is. I remember a friend of mine rented it back in the day, and we played it. And we had fun with it for a while. I mean, it's decent. I'd like to play it again. It'd be fun, but...
Feel like that is that a Tengen game?
I don't think it was, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Because I haven't seen a cartridge in probably 20 years, 30, not 30.
Yeah, years. Yeah, me neither.
A very long time. It looks like it was Tengen.
Nice! I got something right. My brain's not broken.
I also picked up the Playing
with
Power.
I had a regular... cartridge, so I guess.
Book as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, how is that book?
Yeah, I like it. It's like I got the hardcover one that comes in like the slipcase and everything. The cover of the book itself is like just a gray color with a it's hard to explain, but sort of like a foil NES controller logo across the front, but it's like one half of the controller is on the front of the book and one half of the controller is on the back of the book, and it's sort of all shiny and stuff.
Yeah.
It looks really cool. The contents of the book, I think a lot of it's like repurposed like Nintendo Power articles from what I heard. But like all like information that came from Nintendo Power, because they've got like all the maps for Metroid and Kid Icarus and all that sort of thing.
Oh, okay, nice.
They've got some new content, like some sort of basic history and when like certain games came out. Like they have like a section with like the launch games, and then there's like a middle section with like the games that sort of came out in the middle of the NES's life, and then there's like later ones, I think, as well. You've got like you got the letter from Star Tropics printed on one of the pages, so you can see what it looked like and stuff.
Can you dip it in water?
They tell you, yeah, they've made it so you can tell where the water text was. So,
oh,
which is so kind of cool.
I can't relive the dipping experience.
Well, yeah.
Have you guys messed around with the instruction manuals at all for this?
I did before I got my NES Mini because someone posted it on Twitter and I checked out a couple.
Oh, nice!
They're actually really good. You can just save the PDFs directly to your phone.
Yep.
Thing. So
I
saved Kirby and Zelda and just have a look at them, and the reproduction of the manuals looks really good.
Is it just a PDF it really does. Of the actual original manuals?
Yeah, yep. They are. Yeah.
I wonder what I version the funniest... use,
because there are different versions of some of those manuals, which
I think the crazy
person
be...
like me look at like, the version numbers on manuals.
I think they might have like slightly they've slightly cleaned them up, I guess, and maybe like tweaked a tiny amount of the text on it or something, but I don't know.
The best manual is Mega Man 2, at least from my perspective, because it looks like some poor sap was drawing little icons on every page in a pen, and then there's an entire walkthrough of Airman Stage that's called How to Beat Airman Stage. It's so funny. No other stage, just Airman.
Is that the one you're supposed to start with?
No, you're supposed to start with Metal Man, and then you're supposed to beat every other stage in whatever order you want because you have Metal Blade.
It's the most broken Mega Man weapon ever.
Yeah, but that was real funny to me. Oh, well, thank God somebody put this in the book.
Now, Airman Stage is kind of difficult, I think, because you have like those head platforms, and right on the edge of the platform where you have to jump from, like screws or drills come up.
Yeah.
It's very easy for that to knock you into the pits.
But Heat Man Stage has the disappearing blocks.
But you can bypass all of that if you get, I think it's item number 2, where you ride on
the
jet.
Yeah, you can. You'll run out of power before you get to the end of it, but you can.
No, you can do it. If you save it for like, if you keep, don't use it in the beginning, but use it on the huge one, I think you can make it.
Yeah, okay.
Which is the easiest thing to do if you've never played Mega Man 2 before.
The art in the Mario 3 book is phenomenal. I forgot how good that art is.
Yeah, that is very good. I think my manual like wore out because I kept looking at it so many times. Like the staples came out of it.
Yeah.
I used to look at the Pokemon Blue manual a lot. I used to like, I just feel like flipping
through it. That was good. Yeah. And it was thick, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fairly thick because it had like squares where all the Pokedex entries, and like, some of them were filled in, but like most of them weren't, so you could sort of see the Pokedex. I guess the idea was maybe like you could draw it in or tick it off or whatever. But
maybe they knew they'd be selling stickers.
Man, I miss manuals, man.
Me too.
Mm.
Like when
Super Nintendo manuals were great too.
I mean, over the years, manuals got worse because they started including like 3 languages, so then the actual manual part, the quality started to go down. Sometimes it'd be like, I have a question about this game, and like open the manual, and it's like 3 pages of English, and it's like, here are the controls. Good luck.
I know that some like Wii games had manuals that were almost too thick to be held in the manual. Like I think Super Mario Galaxy has a ginormous manual because it has so many languages.
Yeah, and another thing is, I don't know when Nintendo started doing this, but I think in the front of the manual, it started to say something like, if you have more questions about this game, try searching on the internet by typing the game name and then FAQ.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, what a cop-out. Like, what is this? Like, don't even give me this. I missed the manuals and I got cool artwork that I couldn't see anywhere else from the making of the game and awesome instructions and all this stuff, and now it's just like, go on the internet.
Now it's just like, here's a disc and a like a health and safety pamphlet or whatever it is.
Yeah, don't like
how to access the electronic manual.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess we'll wrap up the episode. Thanks, guys, for coming on and talking about the NES.
Wait, hold on. What if you guys could pick one NES game to remove from the NES Mini Classic, whatever it's called,
I think and replace it
with a game of your choosing. So each of you gets a different game. What would it be? What would you take out and what would you put in?
I'd probably take out Simon's Quest and put in Super Dodgeball.
Simon's Quest. I mean, I'd look at the list of games, but Simon's Quest is probably one I'd take out. I might take out Tecmo Bowl because I was never a football fan. What would I put in? Probably some of the games I listed before. Mm. Any of the Mega Mans, probably, or Little Nemo. Even though that's an impossibility, but it would be nice to have that on there. Or even though another impossibility, Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
Like all those light gun
that'd be
games.
Interesting, yeah.
Things that just can't be done. There's things on the NES that can't be done on TVs today. Just think about that. Like,
true. they put Duck Hunt on the Wii U Virtual Console and made it impossible to lose.
Yeah. I mean, I've never tried that, but I'm just like, what's the point?
I bought it. I bought that version.
I did too.
Yeah. You can turn the cursor off, you know.
I know you
Good
can, but even but when you shoot it, the cursor shows up for half a second, so you at least know where it is relative to where you're pointing. Yeah. I actually played that for 15 minutes straight without losing, and I thought, well, it never ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you would stand right up against the TV. And
right.
It's like, man, I just set the world record for Duck Hunt.
I know the instruction manual says sit 20 to 30 feet away from the screen. No, I'm not going to do that.
Oh yeah, before we finish, too, did you guys? I got them, but since I don't have it, I haven't tried it. Did you guys buy any extension cables for your controllers?
Not yet, no.
No. The way I solved this problem is I put the NES Classic right underneath my computer monitor, and I play it at the computer. Mm. The game I'd take out would be Simon's Quest, and I'd put in Ninja Turtles 2. Mm-hmm. The arcade game.
There's just so many good NES games still.
Yeah.
That we could see on the next NES Classic system, which I hope does happen, because that'd be fun.
They could just make the next one slightly bigger and call it the NES Macro.
maybe
it's got 60 games this time.
I mean, there's so many different Famicoms in Japan. I mean, they could do it a bunch of different ways. Like, they could make it the disc system add-on, or they could make it the twin Famicom to repackage it, or something like that. So,
what's the twin Famicom?
I think it was a Famicom that also had the disc system built into it.
Mm. Oh, I see. Huh.
I'll find a picture for you, because it is. It's this big red machine.
The NES version of the Sony Q.
You mean the Panasonic Q?
Oh, Panasonic, damn it.
Yeah. Like the Sony? Just so you can see a picture of it. But yeah, I mean...
Look at that thing. Yeah. That looks like a Nintendo 64.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I'm ready for another one. I don't even have mine yet, and I'm ready for the next one with board games. So I think Nintendo's tapped into something fun here.
Me too.
Yeah, I like the Super Nintendo one.
Yeah, that'd be fun too.
Yeah,
do them all, one a year.
I don't think
take a year to beat demand.
I don't think they could do N64. I doubt there's going to be.
I doubt it too.
One.
Yeah, I mean those control sticks would break right off.
Well, they wouldn't have.
They
to
could
make
modernize the stick.
No,
I just don't know. I just don't know if there are 30 worthwhile N64 games to put on that system.
I think you could. It might be difficult with just Nintendo.
Yeah, without Rare, it might be difficult.
But they've got third parties on board for the NES one, so maybe there's still some third party games out there that are half decent that would be okay. But
yeah, Dark Rift. Let's get Dark Rift on there.
I just think, they would have to have four controller ports on the thing, too.
Oh, that's true. Oh, shit. would the controller still only be $10?
And then if they have Mario Kart 64 on there, they can sell you a mini controller pack to save your ghost data.
Yes. Oh my god, yes.
Ghost data.
And they can sell a mini rumble pack.
No, this is already getting out of hand. You've just convinced me that's not going to happen.
It only needs one AAA battery now.
I like that. I like that idea.
All right, well, I think we'll end the episode there. So, yeah, thanks again, guys, for coming on.
Hey, I love being here. I love the NES, so anytime you want to talk NES, let me know, because it's my favorite Nintendo system.
Of course.
Is it? Really?
Oh, yeah. I love the NES. Super Mario Brothers is probably my favorite game. It got me into, like, Nintendo, and I think there's so much historical significance to that game, and it holds up so well today.
Yeah, that's true.
And even the bad NES games. I know we're trying to end this, but even the bad NES games have merit because they're so hilarious that you can still play them and have a good time by laughing at them. So, and I feel like later bad games are just like, no, this is just bad.
I like that.
Yeah, that's my take on the NES anyway. So let's end the thing. I'm sorry.
That's all right. yeah, so thanks for listening, everyone. If you'd like to send in some listener mail, please do to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. And I guess we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Later.